Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Raise a glass to Craft Beer Week in South Dakota. Today, we welcome brewers from across the state for a look at industry news, this week's celebrations, and the impact of recent legislation from PEER on craft brewing across the state. Jason Curry Olson is co-owner and brewer with Woodgrain Brewing Company in Sioux Falls. He's with me here in the SDPB studios at the University of Sioux Falls. Jason, thanks for stopping by.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Derek Fernholz is co-founder and brewer at Fernson Brewing Company in Sioux Falls. He's also with me here at USF. Welcome, Derek.
Glad to be here.
And in Rapid City at the SDPB Black Hills Studio, Sam Papendick. He's co-owner and brewer at Hay Camp Brewing Company. Hey, Sam, thanks for showing up.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Nobody brought samples, though, and I'm just a little disappointed that we didn't go there. But all kinds of good stuff happening this week. I want to talk about the legislative impact first, and let's deal with that, and then we'll talk about some of the events and efforts for Craft Beer Week. So the Senate bill that came through and talked about changing the game somewhat. How big of an impact, Senate Bill 173, has that been? And Derek, let's start with you on your business.
Sure. For myself and for Fernson, the big thing was the barrel cap that was in place at 5,000 barrels that allowed certain privileges of craft brewers, like holding other license types. We were going to crest that this year based on our trajectory, and so we would have to drastically change our business model. And so this new legislation changed a lot of things. It upped that barrel cap before you lose privileges to 30,000 barrels, so six times as much before you had to think about a new way of doing business. For us, it allowed us to stay the course and have business continue as usual and now start to plan further out. And so we look at it as it's giving brewers, current ones and ones planning on starting, more options and more room to dream about possibilities or different types of business models that weren't possible before. So the upped barrel cap, the allowance for self-distribution of your own product up to 1,500 barrels a year, to any account that is licensed to receive that. And then the other being you could have up to five additional locations and transfer beer to them from your main brewing facility without going through a distributor so that you could have remote breweries or remote tap rooms. So just in general, it just widened it up and modernized it and got us more on the same page as a lot of other states and allowed a booming industry that is in Sioux Falls, creating jobs and revenue, to continue to grow and bring more players into the fold to start their dreams and make breweries happen.
Tell me a little bit about Fernson and where it's located. And I know Fernson on 8th is because you have jazz there.
Yes.
So there's lots of jazz at Fernson on 8th.
Very much so.
So tell us about where else you're at.
Yeah, so the main brewery is on the north side of town off of Cliff and I-90 by the KOA campground. That is our production facility where we brew all of our beer and can it and keg it and all that. And then we have a tap room on site there where you can come and enjoy the beer Wednesday through Sunday. We're open and we give tours. And then downtown, with the burgeoning, amazing craft scene of downtown, we really wanted to be a part of that conversation. And so we opened a remote tap room, essentially. We call Fernson on 8th. It's on 8th and Railroad, essentially, across the railroad tracks from the 8th and Railroad Center. We serve Fernson beer, a small wine list, and have live music generally about once a week.
Jason, tell us a little bit about Woodgrain.
So Woodgrain is more in the core of downtown on 89th and Phillips and so. And we're kind of an interesting building, the DocuTap building down there, the old CNA Surety building. We're actually on the main floor of that. Huh. And it's kind of interesting to find a brewery in the main floor of a five-story building.
Right.
And we've been there since September of 2015, and so we'll be celebrating our third anniversary coming up. And we're a little bit different business model than Fernson. We're a five-barrel brew system. We've got about 20 barrels of fermentation capacity to rotate through, and we added two new tanks last year. And we sell all of our beer, 90% of our beer, out the door, one pint at a time. The tap room is the attraction for us, and we do limited distribution to some of the local restaurants and some of the local bars in town.
So this weekend I was in downtown Sioux Falls and something was happening there. There were a lot of people drinking beer this weekend. Was there an event or is that just downtown Sioux Falls where everybody was kind of going back and forth?
There was a lot of stuff going on downtown Sioux Falls. Yeah, this weekend they had Cinco de Mayo at the Falls Park.
That would be the weekend. Oh, yeah.
They had Cinco de Mayo at Falls Park. They had the breast cancer run this weekend. They had the downtown loft tours this weekend. We had a couple of events that happened downtown at the brewery at the same time that just happened to coincide. So it was a very good weekend downtown. Even I went and had breakfast yesterday downtown, and Sunday was a really hopping day too.
Interesting. All right, Sam, let's talk about Hay Camp Brewing Company. Give us an idea of your organization.
Sure. Thank you. We're a little closer to Wood Grain's scale. We brew actually 3 barrels per batch, and we're in Rapid City, located downtown, and with a small brewery, at least small production capacity, we focus all our sales in-house. We've put a lot of effort into building our tavern. We relocated about a year and a half ago into an old car dealership, and so we've used a lot of repurposed material and increased our tavern space about sevenfold. So for us, it's all about keeping the beer in-house. We try and focus on creating a high-quality, flavorful product. We're all about the flavor experience. But in addition to having a nice tap room, we also have an event space in our building. And so we've been hosting quite a few private events in one of our smaller spaces. We do a lot of smaller parties. We just had a retirement party this last week and did well, but also a wedding reception in our larger space, and then it goes all the way up to performances that can bring in 200 to 350 people. So this next weekend, Cor Blund is traveling through. He's a Canadian country blues musician, and he's got quite a bit of following here. It's pretty great, so we're excited to have that, and that's kind of what we're up to.
Cor Blund will be on In the Moment on Friday, and also I think tomorrow on In the Moment we have a representative from the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology that's going to be part of the Steam Cafe, also held at Hay Camp Brewing Company, if I have all my facts straight. Is that right, Sam? All that stuff happening there as well.
Yeah, you got it. We've got a pretty busy week on top of it being American Craft Beer Week. We're doing a beer and cheese pairing on Wednesday, so really trying to showcase that flavor experience. People think that cheese should be paired with wine, but we try and prove the opposite true, that actually cheese should be paired with beer. And if you come down, you can see that and experience that.
Jason, talk a little bit about, as we talk about the beer itself and what you're trying to brew, what you're really trying to create, because the events are wonderful, but you're really making the best product that you can. Is this something that speaks to a certain group of people who are already into craft beer, or is the market expanding all the time with people who are discovering it for the first time?
I think the strongest piece of the culture that we have in South Dakota is the education piece. There are so many people who walk into my brewery downtown, my tap room, who are quote-unquote macro brewer drinkers. They drink the big, fizzy, yellow beers that are sold in mass quantities around the country. And they're a little bit afraid of what a craft brewery might have to offer. And we see that as a challenge, a way to educate people. Our flagship beer is our milk stout. It is a really nice, easy-drinking, creamy, sweet, a little bit chocolatey milk stout. And when I have someone who comes in who may be a macro beer drinker, well, I don't like flavorful beers. I don't like X, Y, and Z. I will oftentimes slide them probably our darkest beer on the menu. And their initial impression is, oh, I'm not going to like that. Mm. And one of our taproom servers, one of our bartenders, uses the phrase a lot, dark is not a flavor. It's a color. And 8 times out of 10, someone who's used to a light pilsner or an American light lager will take a sip of our milk stout, and it will really surprise them. So there's opportunity there to grow the craft beer market out into people who are not the quote-unquote beer nerds of the world. And that's part of the cool thing about us sitting down here and talking and sharing. Hay Camp's got a beer festival coming up in a couple of weeks, and bringing people in to introduce them to all the variety and flavor that craft beer has to offer.
How different is it, Derek, if I go from one place to the other, but I'm still looking for craft beer, I'm still looking for beer that's brewed here in South Dakota, am I going to have a vastly different experience?
Yes and no. Every place is going to have a different way they operate, but the core similarity that we all share is we're looking to expand how many people here drink the beers that are made here. Yeah. Whether that is us catering to their current flavor profiles in, say, for instance, our biggest seller is Lion's Paw Lager. It's got a copper color to it, amber hue to it, but it drinks pretty light and crisp, familiar flavor to what they're used to in a lighter drinking beer. But that kind of gets them over the color barrier of drinking with their eyes first and really experiencing what's in the glass. And then we've got a whole, you know, myriad of flavors past that. But the experience in general is, let's meet these people where they're at. Let's get an understanding of what they think they don't like about the beers or the perceptions they have coming in about craft beer, if it's going to be too bitter or too hoppy or too this or that. And let's get to the core of it. What do you drink? That's the great question. If they're like, oh, I only ever drink, you know, lemonade beer or what people call right. apple beer, which sometimes is just, they mean cider. They drink hard apple cider, but there's also like apple ales out there that are beer cider hybrids. You know, if they like that, or if I'm a wine drinker, I don't drink beer. Well, we have some sours. I think all of us at some point do some sort of sour beer. That acidity is a great bridge to, oh, I only drink wine. Well, here's a beer with some acidity to it, something you're used to, but it's still beer. Right. And it's just having that real conversation and educating all of our taproom staffs to know how to guide that experience. And the biggest thing we can do is all of us offer samples for free, pretty much exhaustively. I tell all of our staff, if they haven't tasted each beer twice, they haven't oversampled. Like, we want them to find something and be happy with trading their hard-earned money for a glass of something at our tap rooms. And so, yeah, it's just being a human and being relating to people.
Sam, do you find the same thing in the Black Hills? What is the sort of beer culture like there? You all have visitors as well as residents. We all have tourists, but certainly there's a season in Rapid City that we're in the Black Hills that you would really notice a change. What do you think, Sam?
No, I agree. We're pretty excited for the tourist season to be coming through here pretty quick. But at the same time, you know, a brewery, it's a production facility. And so we have to keep our systems running 100% throughout the year. So to build that foundation and really engage with our local craft beer drinkers, that's really our ultimate goal. The tourist season, that's kind of just cream on the crop. But, I mean, it brings people in. And so it's nice to be able to share that. And I know when I travel, I'm all about checking out the local craft beer scene. We were just in Nashville, Tennessee, last week for the Craft Brewers Conference, and it was all about seeing what was local. And, you know, on that note, I got to give a shout out to Fernsehen for bringing home the gold medal in the World Beer Cup. So nice work.
Yeah, tell us that story, because that's pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, it still hasn't fully sunk in, because work was normal, as you know, a normal work day when I returned on Monday to the brewery. But so Fernsehen, like a lot of breweries, and I think just shy of 3,000 breweries across the world, entered beers into 101 different categories to be judged at the World Beer Cup. They had, I believe it was 290 judges from 66 different countries. 75% of the judges were from outside of the U.S., judged all these beers that were entered into specific categories, and picked a gold, silver, and a bronze award winner in each one. And the category we won for was session ale or session beer. I think it was just session beer. And it had to be under 5% alcohol by volume, but based on a classic style. So we entered our farmhouse ale, which is the first beer we ever put out into the market, the first beer we perfected in the garage when my business partner Blake and I first started brewing together in 2013 or 14. And it was a great validation. So they judged it as a classic French Saison, which is what it was built to be. But we literally built that beer to taste like that, like to be similar to like a Boulevard Tank 7, which is a great French Saison brewed in the U.S., but to have a lower amount of alcohol so we could drink a few of them, session them. That's where the word session comes from, okay. Being able to have multiple in one session or sitting down and not get overly inebriated, and so lower alcohol version. So they judged it as a Saison that happened to be under 5% and decided we were the best one in that category and awarded us gold for it, which was unbelievable.
And you hear your name called out, and it's
right. Yeah, we were sitting there. Blake had to come home, or came home a little bit early, so he came home Thursday morning, but his brother Joel, who works in operations and management for us, and my lead cellarman Kyle and myself were sitting in the audience, and we're like, okay, we're in this category, and you know, bronze gets announced, we're like, yeah, that's great beer, clapping and cheering like everybody was doing, and silver, yeah, that's great beer, clapping and cheering, and we're like, oh, better luck next time, guys. And and they said gold, Fernsehen farmhouse ale, and the room was just kind of silent. I think collectively the 5,000 brewers sitting in that room looked up and were like, South Dakota. And so, yeah, we were beside ourselves and got to go up on stage and receive it from kind of the godfather of American craft beer, Charlie Papazian, who started the home brewing movement as it was legalized by Jimmy Carter in the 70s. Okay. And he was the one who handed us our award, and we took a picture and then just rode that euphoria for the rest of the night, really. So,
Jason, how did you get into this? Because you're a scientist, you're an artist, you're a historian, all this sort of...
I'm a little bit of everything. I'm a jack of all trades, master of none. But several years ago, I had some health issues and ended up not being able to drive. And my brother brought over a homebrew kit and stuck at home. We made our first beer together, and which is awesome because my brother is my best friend. And to have him be a part of where we are now and part of that impetus is really important to me. And I brewed for years and years and years. I taught several of my friends. And then my business partner, Steve, I met him at church doing a small group study. And I taught him how to homebrew, and we got a crazy idea. And that's kind of how beer started for me. I grew up, I'm old enough to remember before craft beer was really widely available, right, back when some of the big macros like Newcastle and stuff were considered craft. And to see the evolution of craft beer from decades ago to now is really an exciting thing to do, because it is, as Derek said it earlier, a bit of a validation in what we're doing as an industry, to see that growth and to see the popularity of it continue to grow. And it's so fun to have this community of brewers in South Dakota. I mean, I hang out with Sam every chance I get to go out to the hills. Derek stopped down last Saturday and had a beer at Woodgrain. So the community of beer in South Dakota is very, very, very close.
Yeah. Sam, how did you get involved in this business?
Yeah, well, I was doing my undergraduate at Colorado State for chemical engineering, and I started homebrewing with a fellow classmate. And yeah, I guess before that, it's all about drinking craft beer. But then, yeah, you start homebrewing. And when I moved back to Rapid City, I was in graduate school at the School of Mines, and I reconnected with an old classmate from high school, Carl Koth, who's my current co-owner and business partner. But we started homebrewing together, and we both have kind of that knack for technical processes, and we appreciated going back and forth, and it just kind of grew. And we decided that, you know, we're brewing almost every weekend now. Let's try and start a business with it. And so we went into a small location, only a block from here, actually, at the old Creamery Mall on 2nd and Main. And we could only brew enough beer to be open on Fridays. And as the business grew, I mean, we still had jobs elsewhere, so the business kind of took itself from one step to the next. Eventually, it grew into more of a full-time thing. And then when we decided to move into our new location on 6th and Kansas, Carl and I both left our other jobs and went full-time. So now that's what we're doing, and just trying to stay afloat. It's a lot of work, but it's really great and really rewarding. And I definitely love the craft beer community and the culture that it creates. So
it's important to the community. It's become, Derek, don't you think, already like important to the community that there's successful microbreweries in the state?
Very much so. I mean, we all provide jobs, and we all provide a third place. We all, you know, we have our core customer base that, whether it's just once a week on a Wednesday or every night after work, whatever it happens to be for that one before they head home or whatever, we're creating these third places. You know, you've got home and you've got work, and then there's somewhere else you'd like to go for you. And there's something about it that you keep coming back to. And I think the brewery tap rooms in every community around the country, I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but it's the Brewers Association puts out every year, essentially like how, on average, how far away the nearest craft brewery is from the average citizen in the U.S., and that number keeps dropping.
Yeah.
Because almost every little pocket is having their own beer, very much hearkening back to pre-Prohibition era, when every community had its own beer, and there was other reasons for, you know, lack of pasteurization or refrigerated shipping and stuff like that, why every community had to have their own brewery back then.
Sure.
But there's still that semblance of, I want to drink what's from here, and I want to be a part of the movement that is growing and my community can be proud of.
What's happening for Craft Beer Week? You go first, Derek.
We don't have a lot going on, honestly. But we do have a great event coming up on Saturday at the end of Craft Beer Week here, which is we are giving away a can of Fernson Farmhouse Ale to every person that comes up to the brewery from noon to 9 on Saturday, May 19th. And so that's our sort of our giving back and celebrating the win that we received at the World Beer Cup, and just trying to give a little thank you to all the people that believed in us around here and have drank our beer, and specifically that one.
Sam, what's going on for you this week at Hay Camp?
Yeah, we kind of have a full slate. So starting tonight, the Independent Ale House is doing a drink local event. Our beer will be down tap there, our Dyna Sour. It's a kettle soured American sour pale ale, but you'll see beers from all around the Black Hills and I think all around the state as well. So pretty excited for that. We touched on the Steam Cafe tomorrow, engaging with the School of Mines, and I think SDPB as well. I think she reached out to you guys. But and then we have the beer and cheese pairing on Wednesday. On Thursday, we're releasing a coffee breakfast porter. So kind of excited about that. And then on Friday, we've got a big day. We do a bike ride at 6:30 called Bike for Pint. So you come down, if you ride bikes with us, kind of chill, cruiser ride throughout town. Come back, you get a free beer. And then Corblund, and we'll be serving our session beer, the Bitter Warrior from Firkin. So this is a traditional serving method, naturally carbonated in a cask that sits on its side, and we serve it from a beer engine. So kind of pays homage to the days of old when the cellarman really had to finish off a beer for the brewery. So kind of that's our week.
All right. Jason at Woodgrain, what's going on?
We have a packed schedule. We tend to do this to ourselves every single year. I was talking to Derek earlier. We're releasing a brand new IPA tonight. It's called the Triple Mighty. It's a big double IPA, triple IPA. Anybody who wears a craft beer shirt gets a dollar off their beer tonight. Tuesday, we've been cellaring bottles of some of our barrel-aged beers, and we're releasing a couple of cases of a 2016 barrel-aged quadruple style for in-house consumption. Wednesday, we've got barrel-aged Ebony release, as well as a couple other versions of Ebony coming out as well, so people can do a 2016, 2017, 2018 vertical. We have Antojitos, Latinos food truck parked out front. Thursday, huge Christmas. We partnered with Hi-Fi, with Dagger and Arrow. They do some really awesome hot sauces. So it's a spiced Imperial Porter with more spice in it, so to speak. Friday, we've got a Cherry Goza release. That's a really nice, tart, kettle sour beer as well, and Breaking Burrito. And then Saturday, we're releasing a barrel beer. We're doing an Imperial Brown release. Herds to Hops, we're doing a big burger grill out there, dueling purpose pianos, and then more food trucks. And then Sunday is going to be a little low key. We're just doing $2 off growler fills.
$2 growler fills, I'll be right there.
$2 off growler fills. Would be a heck of a deal.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say my first and last experience with beer was when my cousin gave me a Budweiser at a wedding dance when I was like 12, and I haven't had a drink since. So I'm going to come down, and I'm going to get some samples, and I'm going to explore this this whole new world that is probably way better than Budweiser when you're 12.
We hope so.
Which I rejected pretty shortly. I mean, it was a few sips and I was done. Horrible taste that when you're 12 years old. So give me something better. Jason Curry Olson is with Woodgrain Brewery. Derek Fernholz is with Fernton Brewing Company. And Sam Papendick is with Hay Camp Brewing Company out in Rapid City. Thanks so much, gentlemen, for being here. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Cheers.